Okay, so we started discussing here about the idea that Ahasuerus took out the Big Day Kahuna, and he wore the Big Day Kahuna at this major event, at this major party. So we decided now, we asked a question a couple weeks ago, and people said they liked it, so we're going to go into that, and hopefully we'll use that answer to explain why Ahasuerus took out the Big Day Kahuna. Until now, we were discussing why he wasn't punished. Now we're going to discuss maybe why he did it. So it sounds like this. 88b in Zvachim, fascinating Gemara. The Gemara says, Lama Nismacha Parshas Kabonis LeParshas Big Day Kahuna. In English, hard scroll. Why was the Psukim talking about Kabonis next to talking about the priestly garments? Why are they next to each other? In the Torah, in Vayikra, it talks about a mincha, a chatas, and asham, a shlamim. And right after that, it talks about Aaron's clothing. So we don't believe anything's happenstance. So what's the reason why they are together? Here goes the answer. Ma karbonis mechaprim. What do you bring karbonis for? To achieve atonement. Af big day kahuna mechaprim. Therefore, big day kahuna are mechaprim. When the kayan gadol, or the kayan hedger, we'll see in a minute, when they are wearing their clothing,
What does it mean, mechaprim?
Atonement. Here it says like this. The wearing of the vestments of the kohanim engaged in avodah affects atonement for certain sins. In conjunction with repentance, that's the first answer. Since kohanim do the avodah on behalf of all the Jews, the wearing of the special clothing atones for others, not for themselves, for wearing the clothing, that would be a joke. It atones even for other people. Since these vestments are worn for glory and splendor, which is the psukim we have out, coveted to Pharisees, which says by Ahasuerus, they introduce a sense of loftiness in Israel that counteracts the degradation. Okay. Now it goes through the details, which we won't go through in that much. Kesoines, the tunic, mechaper on murder. The next one, we're going to go fast. The turban atones for arrogance. The avnet, the belt, atones for thoughts of the heart. The choshen.
So everything has its own.
So every item specifically, we're not going through the long article why it works that way, because that would be too far for Purim. We only thought a couple minutes ago, Israel. We're quoting the Gemara in Zvachim. The Gemara says that for every article of clothing that's being worn by the Kohen Gadol, maybe the Kohen Hedget, it affects atonement for the people in Klal Yisrael. So 2 weeks ago we asked, and really we're given the class that for Israel, so thankfully you came, was the question was asked, and we said that we showed him asked this question. If a Kohen Gadol is walking around wearing clothing, and it affects atonement for the sins, and we don't know anywhere that the Kahanim Gedolim hid their clothing before the destruction of the temple, of the Beis HaMikdash, so how do we say that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed? For what was it destroyed for? Murder? We just said now that it stops for murder. Do we not just say that? Big Day Kahuna Mechaprim, the tunic atones for bloodshed. So what do you mean the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of bloodshed? Shvichas Dam was atoned for. Immorality was atoned for. Avodah Zarah was atoned for. So if the Kahanim Gedolim, will go with Kahanim Gedolim for now, was wearing the clothing while he was doing the service, and it automatically forgave these sins, then how can we turn around and say these sins? The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. An obvious question. So you're going to say that what? For the 4 minutes before he put on the Beis HaMikdash, it was destroyed during those 4 minutes. He put it on every day, right? The Kohen Gadol wore the clothes. We don't see anywhere, we know the Sanhedrin disappeared 40 years before. We don't see the Kohen Gadol stop wearing clothing. So now. I know what you said. What, automatic? Here it says that I'm reading the Gemara first. Just as offerings atone, the priestly begadim atone. The tunic atones for bloodshed. So now, if what you said just now meant that, wait a second, how much does it atone for? It means that it helps with repentance. Then there's an easy answer. The Jews at the time of the second base midrash, they were wearing the clothing, but they weren't repenting at all. So they weren't repenting at all, no forgiveness. When you repent, it helps a little bit. Same thing with ask a question about a chosin. A guy becomes a chosin, he's forgiven all sins. Is that just automatic, or he has to do a little tshuva at all?
Yeah, that's good.
Now, so if you're going to say it requires a little tshuva, so that's something. So now it goes like this. The idea is that the clothing creates some type of forgiveness automatically. So we have the first question, how is the Beis HaMikdash destroyed? We go with Judd's answer. Judd's answer was that it has a helping hand.
That means, let's say normally I'm making up a number, you need 100, level 100 to be forgiveness. If the Kohen Gadol is wearing the clothing, it goes down from 100 to number 80. If you're at 80 forgiveness, 80 repentance is also going to work. I want to say like this. Why am I bringing this up now? Besides that, can we keep on talking about it? Why did Achashverosh bring out the Bigdei Kahuna? So it could be like this. Achashverosh is telling the Jews, listen to me. You should know, I have the Bigdei Kahuna here. And you know what that means? That means there's some type of automatic effect that occurs. We discussed last week that the Bigdei Kahuna had less of a holiness than the vessels. Why? Among the many answers we gave was that the Bigdei Kahuna had a certain leniency to it, that the Kohen Gadol and the Kohen wore it during the Avodah, but then they wore it for a few seconds afterwards, 10 minutes afterwards, 20 minutes afterwards. It was allowed for private use because you couldn't expect a Kohen Gadol or a Kohen to do the Avodah and then immediately take off the clothes. That's idiotic. But a vessel, the vessels had to be used only strictly for that. There was never a leniency on that, which made the vessels more powerful than the clothing. So now we're saying like this. The clothing had a power even when it wasn't in full service. That means the Kohen Gadol is using it in full service, but he also could wear it for 25 minutes after. So it has a certain mundane aspect. Achashverosh is telling him like this. The same way the Kohen Gadol could walk around wearing it, it has a power by itself. That's what it means. It doesn't need the Kohen Gadol's avodah only. It has the power. So I'm telling you guys, all the Jews come to my party. What was this party about? This party, there were going to be potential avodahs here. He's telling guys, don't worry about it. You do avodahs. But you know what? You do repentance. You haven't done that? You don't even need real repentance. You need half repentance, 80% repentance, 20% repentance. It's okay. I'm telling you right now, the only reason why the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed 80 years ago, 70 years ago, was because they did zero repentance. Zero repentance. You guys can't do that. But I'm going to take out the clothing. I'm going to show it off to the Jews. I'm going to say, listen, look at the thing hanging here. You see this article of clothing hanging here? It's beautiful. You know what this thing does beautifully? It also means you don't need full repentance. So come enjoy yourself. Chop a rind on some non-kosher food. Fresh your face without making a bracha. It's all good. Don't worry about it. It's all good. That's Achashverosh's gang of taking out the clothing was to race them on. What?
1 second.
So let's go back. That's two things. First of all, we had a debate 2 weeks ago that between the Gemara and the Medrash, did Achashverosh wear the clothing or not? The Medrash doesn't seem to say he wore it. The Gemara says he does. Okay. Now, besides that, yes, there is a potential power to the items of clothing, even not during the service. So, for example, Gemara and Zvachim discusses the tzitz. The power of the tzitz. And the Gemara has a debate. If the power of the tzitz only works when it's on his head, or it works wherever it's going to be. There is for sure an idea in the Gemara that these clothing have power, even not being worn by the Kohen Gadol. So it could be Achashverosh was telling the Jews.
That's the reason why he wasn't punished, because he was actually wearing them.
I'm going to, yes and no. I'm saying, I'm coming with a half new share. Why was he taking out the clothing at all? Last week was why wasn't he punished? Now I'm saying, why did he take it out? What was the point of taking it out? What's he trying to do here? So answer number one, we're going to have opposite answers. Answer number one is he took it out to tell the Jews, enjoy yourself. Don't worry about it. You're going to have a good time tonight. A good time, you know why? Because even if you have a good time, it's going to work. You get forgiven anyway. The problem with his cheshbon was, is like this. We discussed this one of the first classes we gave. You can do any avera and have tshuva. You can do any avera and Yom Kippur is going to forgive you. You can go to sleep, erev Yom Kippur, and wake up matzah Yom Kippur, according to Rebbe, and you're forgiven. The only thing you can't do is if you're relying on that. If you do the Avera, relying on it, right. If the potential forgiveness causes the sin, it doesn't work at all. So even though Achashverosh had a smart question, Achashverosh walked in and told the Jews, listen guys, I have a great idea. Have a blast. I got the clothing, we're good to go. What he didn't realize why the Jews were not going to listen necessarily. We'll have to get to the fight between Mordechai and the Jews about what they're doing there. But a potential flaw in the cheshbon is, even though these do have special powers of forgiveness, you can't rely on it. And that applies to all these type of things. So for example, you can't go around saying, oh yeah, I'm getting married next Wednesday night. I know there's a concept that a chas and all the various are being meichel, and we know it from who? From Esav. So obviously, no one here in this room is as bad as Esav. So it's a good idea. You get married and you get forgiven sins. But you can't say, you know what, a week before, let's go to Vegas and have a bachelor party. Why? Because I know a Thursday night wedding, No. If the forgiveness feature is going to cause you to sin, then it doesn't work. So when you're doing an avera because you're relying on your kippah, doing an avera because you're relying on Bigdei Kahuna, doing an avera because you're relying on the chasen, then it doesn't work. But otherwise, it has some power. How is the Beis Hamikdash destroyed? They didn't rely on that power. The Jews could have done half tshuva, and it would have worked automatically. So answer number one of the original question. We're answering two questions now. I'm using question one to answer question two. Question one, which Israel liked 2 weeks ago, was how was the Beis Hamikdash destroyed if this clothing and the Kohen Gadol was being worn? it was sins were being forgiven automatically, why the Beis HaMikdash got destroyed. Answer number one, why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, because in that factor, you needed forgiveness. It's not just automatic forgiveness. You need a factor of tshuva. I'm now removing that to a new answer. What was Achashverosh taking the clothing out? He used that factor as a cheshbon to get the Jews to sin. Following? Answer number two. Again, of the original question. Why, if the Kohen Gadol had the big tikkunah, the Beis HaMikdash got destroyed? How's it possible? So answer number two goes to this. What is this kahuna automatic forgiveness? What is automatic forgiveness? It sounds interesting. The Gemara compares it to karbonis. Karbonis. It says, why mipnei ma nismecha? Parsha's karbonis. Why was the psukim of the sacrifices next to the psukim of the priestly garments? To say they're compared. Do carbon forgive all sins? You can clearly now say that the only way the clothing forgives is based on what the karbonis forgive, because that's the whole idea. If the karbonis cannot forgive for X, we'll fill it in a second, then the priestly garments won't work for X, because it's learned out of that. So this, and what did the Jews sin during the time of the Beis HaMikdash? So had the Beis HaMikdash get destroyed? Sin X. Because sin X doesn't get forgiven by karbonis, therefore it's not forgiven by the priestly garments, therefore the Beis HaMikdash can be destroyed. None of the yet. So let's think now, what is a major factor from your yeshiva days of what a carbon is brought for? So the factor should be, carbonis are only brought when a person sins b'shoigeg, accidentally. A purposeful sinner doesn't work a carbon. You can't walk around shooting people in the head and say, well, I'll bring a sacrifice. It doesn't work that way. We have a bezin that shoots you in the head. Not literally, but figuratively. When do you get away with a carbon? When a guy shoigig violates Shabbos. A guy shoigig murders someone. I've got Ari Miklach, murder's a bad example. But when a guy shoigig does something, mechil Shabbos, eating on Yom Kippur, eating chaza, all of the shoigigs, you bring a carbon, except for a few exceptions, we're not going to. But overall, it only works on shoigig. So how was the Beis HaMikdash destroyed? Very simple. They weren't doing Averis b'shoigig. In the time of the Beis HaMikdash, they were doing Averis b'mezid. So you want to say, why did the priestly garments help? Yeah, because priestly garments don't help with b'mezid. And b'mezid, they walk around killing people. That would be the second answer to answer the original question from 2 weeks ago. Now, Hubner wants to extract from that and get back to Achashverosh. Get back to Achashverosh. Because we're trying also to figure out the cheshbon that you said, David. What is he doing bringing out the clothing right now? What's he doing with it? And I'm claiming for my first answers that he's trying to get them to induce them to enjoy themselves. Answer was, enjoy yourself. Don't worry about it. Just do a little tshuva. We don't like the cheshbon. Answer number two is very simple. He's telling him like this. You know who I am? My title is called King Achashverosh. King. Okay. Which means, now, if I call you in and I say, listen, I want you to do something, you almost have a life and death situation. Mm-hmm. The concept of a king, we discussed also a couple weeks ago, I think we did. When do you make a brach on a king? I don't know if we did it on tape, but we discussed when you make a brach on a president. The concept of what's called a king is the power of life and death. Power of life and death. President does not necessarily have, he definitely does not have the power of life and death. Maybe life, if he, what do you call that thing? He pardons. But he doesn't have power of death in the real world. Black ops, we don't talk about. So the idea is, if King Achashverosh is called king, and the king calls you up and says, Azriel, I'm making a party tonight. I expect to see you at 8 o'clock. You know what that means? You better be there at 8 o'clock. Now, I invite you to my party at 8 o'clock. I'm the king. And I say, by the way, Azriel, I want you to have some of that food there. And you're like, well, I don't think that food's kosher. Yeah, you know what my name is? I'm the king. Be like, yeah, this is not a good idea. So I want to show you the priestly garments. The priestly garments are telling you, you have nothing to be concerned about. Because any time you do something b'shoigeg, accidentally, under duress, under force, you're forgiven. So I'm telling you like this, have a good time. You're like, I'm not comfortable. I don't like eating chazer. My rabbi told me eating chazer is bad news. Yeah, if you're eating chazer because you want to eat chazer on your own, have a good idea. No! I'm telling you, Nichaza, enjoy yourself. That's a leniency. So Achashverosh is bringing the clothing out into the party, was again, according to the Cheshbon. When you go through Esav, Haman, yeah. So now, what would be wrong with that Cheshbon? So, potentially, you could say this. It's a brilliant contradiction. If a guy has a gun to his head, and he's told, eat or take the bullet. Not kosher food. He eats. Even kosher food. Let's say he's not hungry. I had already 3 sandwiches. 8 calzones maybe someone had here. And I'm like, I'm not in the mood of eating. So what happens now? Gun to your head. Do you make a bracha? You don't make a bracha. So it seems like many of the Shulchan Aruch says, you don't make a bracha. You're not looking to eat. You know why you're eating? Because there's a gun to the back of your head. Gun to the back of your head, you're eating. Okay, so listen. We want you to eat. If there's a gun to the back of your head, we want you to eat, by the way. We're pro-eating. Okay, pro-eating, but not pro-bracha. The bracha is when you want to eat. If you're stuffed to your face, in a regular case, you don't eat. If you're drinking water and for a pill, you don't take it. Why? Because there's no enjoyment out of this. When you have a gun to your head, I don't know what your enjoyment level is going to be. You're eating because there's a gun to your head. What about a guy who is very sick, God forbid, and the doctors tell him, listen, you got to eat this stuff. Do you make a bracha in that case or not? So they say, sometimes they say you do make a bracha. There's a question in the halacha how this works out. But the lumdus behind this goes like this. When the gun is to your head right now, do you want to eat or do you not want to eat? Oh, so when you don't want to eat, then you don't make a bracha. But if you do not, you want to eat because there's a gun to your head, possible you say that you do land up making a bracha. Very fine line here. Do you not really want to eat at all, or you want to eat because there's a gun to your head? How do you look at the gun to your head? There's a debate between the achronim. The nachmi is going to be when you make a bracha or not. How do we look at it? My first way I told you is you don't want to eat, gun to your head. The second way is, you know what? You do really want to eat because there's a gun to my head. It means I don't want the bullet, I want to eat. So there's a debate between the achronim. Nachmi is going to be a bracha. When there's a gun to your head, or when someone's got up in the hospital and dying, they tell him the only way to survive is to eat this thing. How do we look at this item? Does he really want to eat it? He doesn't want to be in this situation, but now that he's in this situation, he wants to eat. Or do we say, no, that's not called wanting to eat? This is a halachic debate. What is called wanting to eat? Wanting to eat means I really want to eat, or wanting to eat means I don't want to be in this situation, but now that I'm here, I want to eat. That's a debate. Would be the same thing potentially here. Achashverosh is telling the Jews, I'm demanding you come to the party. I'm demanding you eat. I'm showing you the clothing. The clothing tells me to tell you, you guys are accidental. Yeshoigeg, enjoy yourself. The question is, that's not such a clear thing. Because the truth is, you don't want to be in this situation, but you might want to eat once you're in the situation. That means when I point to Israel, I said, eat that chaza. There's a part of him that's thinking, yeah, thank God, you know, I never had chaza before in my life. Maybe it's not a bad idea. I want to taste what it tastes like. Of course, you wouldn't do it in a normal situation. But now that you're under duress, you're willing to do it. How willing are you to do it? That line, where it depends where you're going to draw that line, of when you're willing to do it, potentially, makes you liable.
It's mysterious.
It depends how far it goes. Yes, depends on how mysterious nefesh and how much you don't want to do it to when you'd make the bracha or not. We all agree, by the way. I'll give you a good one, David. No, because David said, well.
They went to the party at home. They didn't have to be
right. Well, we're going to see all about that. But let's say you said yourself a good example. You take a pill with water, you don't make a bracha. But you take a pill with orange juice, you make a bracha.
Yeah.
Why? So the simple explanation, and the more correct one, is because in the end you're having something. There's some enjoyment automatically.
Having but, something for the water also. I mean, people needed water to live.
Oh, but there was only water for the pill now. Water for the pill.
You take me for the pill, but my so you have.
So you're good.
You're not going to have to drink a cup of water later on.
Oh, so that, I'm going to ask you the difference. Good. You're saying exactly what I was about to ask. Why, when you drink the water with the pill, do we automatically, everyone knows you don't make the bracha, and you drink the oranges with the pill, you automatically, yes, make the bracha. We could really start debating this. Do I want to take the oranges with the pill? I'd rather be healthy. I'd rather not need a pill. I need a pill. Doctor said you need a pill.
And I'm not thirsty now,
but okay, you know what? But right now, I'm willing to take the oranges because the doctor said drink the pill and make me better. So again, even with the oranges and the water, again, we have an halacha lemaisa. There's not a halacha here. In halacha, don't make a bracha with the water, make a bracha with the oranges. Yes. But the lumdus behind it, there are debates of the people who don't agree with the halachas. We go with the halacha. Because the question is like this. When I'm drinking the water, I know I'm not going to drink it later. I also benefit. You know why? A lot of people can't take a pill without water. I'm not saying that's a taste benefit, but there is a benefit to me. And when I drink the orange juice, it could be I don't like orange juice. But okay, I don't want to drink orange juice. I don't like orange juice. But you know what? I'll take the orange juice. You know why? Because the doctor said take orange juice. But I don't want to take it. So is the guy who hates orange juice and is drinking orange juice for the doctor's pill, is he more of a bracha guy than the guy who says, I don't mind water, yeah, I'll take the water, big deal. So again, the point is when it comes to these questions, there's a fine line.
Like water better than orange juice?
Yeah, right? So, and the guy doesn't mind that. So in these specific situations, all I'm saying is in Lumdus, because Achashverosh is Lumdus, as Judd likes to point out, is that the idea becomes, it's not so simple. We're giving now two explanations. Why potentially Achashverosh said, here's the clothing. Like, what is that for? Again, we're going to go through the Pashup Shat in the Gemara. Pashup Shat in the Gemara, he was showing off. But without that, what's he doing here? Two potential reasons. Either he's telling the Jews, enjoy yourself because you're a shaygig. You could do a little repentance, or enjoy yourself because you're a shaygig. The problems with this theory is, you're a shaygig, but you might be enjoying it. And repentance doesn't work, as David said, when you're looking to start up. When you're looking to do the Averia and rely on the repentance, it doesn't work. But those are right now two questions. Next one. Back to the original question. The original question is, how could the Beis HaMikdash have been destroyed if the clothing of the Kohen Gadol was still working? How far, again, the debate goes. How far do we take this big tekuna sitting on the clothing on the Kohen Gadol? How far does it work? So someone said this. We have to find, the goal is at this, we have to find averus that are not covered by the big tekuna, and that's why the Beis HaMikdash gets destroyed. So either it's not covered and you do no repentance, Beis HaMikdash destroyed. Either it's not covered when you do a pemazin, Beis HaMikdash destroyed. We have to find places. What else is another example, potentially, of the big tekuna not covering it? Here goes another one. Everyone does an avera. We have a thing in Judaism, arevim zeh lazeh. We're all in the same pit together. And we're all, depending on the power, going to get punished. So, if you allow someone to come into a class, on a random example, on a Shabbos afternoon and berate someone in public, and you don't want to stand up because you're a weak person, then what happens? You're not the berater, but you did something. You're responsible on some level. How much you're responsible? It depends on how powerful you are. How powerful you are. Everyone's power based on his responsibility. If I can stop Israel from doing something this much, I'm this much responsible. If I have this much power, I'm more responsible. That's the way it works. Now, when the big day kahuna was working, it's a possibility to say, a strong possibility to say, it had the power of atonement for the people next to the sinner, not for the sinner himself. And the sinner himself is going to get punished. But you know what? There's a collective punishment that goes on in Klal Yisrael, right? The collective punishment. A genocide! There's a genocide that goes on because why? Because everyone in Klal Yisrael were in it together. For that, the big tekuna could help. So the big tekuna was helping. You know what it was helping? Every non-active sinner in the time of the Beis HaMikdash didn't have to get punished directly. But for every active sinner, you still get punished. So the Beis HaMikdash does get destroyed because there were enough active sinners. For the side people, if we call them the side people, the relatives, the neighbors, the people who are putting the social pressure on, who did not put the social pressure on, who normally would get punished, okay, big tekuna helps you out in that case. But it's not a carte blanche heter for every person in every situation. Just like it won't help, potentially, for the guy who does it purposely, it doesn't help for the guy who's doing the avera directly, as opposed to the guy standing next to him. Can this help us with Achashverosh? It's a little tough. It means Achashverosh could be telling them, I haven't worked it out 100%. Achashverosh could be telling them, come to the party and understand one thing. You're only responsible for yourselves. So it's not the greatest leniency, but it's something to say. You know, people don't like to know I'm going to a party, I'm causing that guy to sin. No. You're not involved with that guy. You know, if Klai is saying we're all going to go together, everyone starts feeling a little bad. Don't feel bad about the other guy. Only focus on yourself. The big dick is telling you, don't worry about Yenim. Which means there's no reason to stop anyone else from going. He's basically telling Mordechai, what are you getting involved for? You don't want to go, don't go. What are you going to go with these guys for? You're not getting punched anyway. Mordechai had real reasons because he was a good Jew. But it means like this. Sometimes when I'm stopping someone from doing an Avera, I'm a good Jew and I'm Lashma. Sometimes I'm doing it Shalom Lashma. I don't want to get punished either. I don't want you doing an Avera and me getting punished. Right? As we say, I'm not going to hell for your Averas. I'll go for my Averas, but I don't want to go for your Averas. Well, I don't want that at all. So what happens is, normally the Big Day Kahuna can protect me. From your Averas, you get punished. I get punished my Averas. But it doesn't work in a tandem and a mixture. So Achashverosh is telling everyone, hey, listen, I'm having a party here. But I know what's going to happen. Some goody two-shoes are going to get up, named Mordechai, and going to say, don't go. It's bad for everybody. You're going to feel a little guilty. Yeah, and the mice would... Don't worry about this guy. He let him worry about himself. Everyone worry about yourself. Now, in Judaism, that's a terrible attitude. We don't believe in everyone worrying about themselves. As we always give the example of what's going on in America today. If you're walking on a ship and you hear a guy behind the door with a drill, you knock on the door, you tell him, what are you doing there? He goes, well, I'm drilling. Why are you drilling in the ship? Well, I want to fish. He goes, listen, you can't do that. And his response is going to be, what goes on in my private bedroom, if we know what I'm talking about, is no one else's business, an American attitude. Judaism, we don't believe that. Because if what goes on in your private bedroom, if you're drilling into the hole to get fish coming up, we're all going to drown. So Achashverosh is trying to tell the Jews, don't give Moshe Shmuzin. Don't give Moshe Shmuzin. No one's getting punished for anybody else's sins. We got the Bigde Kuna here. We're good to go. So three answers again on why the Beis HaMikdash could still be destroyed. And we moved it over to why Achashverosh potentially could take it out. Either it was destroyed because they have no repentance. You could do repentance. Either it was destroyed because they did it, but maze that you're b'shoyg because the king is forcing you. Or it doesn't. It only helps for the side people. Don't worry, you're only a side person here. Come enjoy yourself. Another answer.
And everybody went to the party.
Everyone except for Mordechai.
But
it could, excellent, because it could be that everyone goes to the party because no one's giving each other musa. That means it could be, before Achashverosh is giving a speech about this, that everyone should worry about everybody, then it's not so easy for everyone to go to the party by themselves. Because people are starting to, collectively, everyone starts going together. What are we going to do here? But when everyone's not only worried about themselves, it creates a lack of unity in Klai Yisrael, potentially opening up the door for sins. But I agree this one's a more of the stretch to Achashverosh than the first two. Another answer in general, I don't tie it to Achashverosh, of how the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed if they were Big Tekuna, is that, it's hard to say, some say this, the Big Tekuna only worked up to a certain point. That means when it's still called an individual sin, it's forgiving people, maybe the person himself. But when it becomes a rabbim, a collective sin, Big Tekuna can't help. And the Jews in the time of the Beis HaMikdash reached whatever is called collective bargaining, collective punishment, a certain number, 51%. I don't know, maybe 6%. Whatever the number is going to be where it becomes a rabbim. We have the same thing, there's such a concept by Avodah Zarah. If one person commits Avodah Zarah, there's a punishment. But if 51% of a town commits Avodah Zarah, we call it an Ir Nedachas. That means we are willing to adjust things for the rabbim as opposed to the yachid. So in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, the Big Tekuna has a tremendous help up to a certain point. It wasn't a get-out-of-jail-free card forever. And the Jews, during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, went past what would be called get-out-of-jail-free card. That means the first guy who sins is okay. You know, it's always like that, by the way. I'll give you as an example, halachically. We believe that, let's say, in halacha, you're not allowed to smoke cigarettes. It's bad for your health. We believe in pro-health. And if you're not allowed to smoke. But we know that at a certain point, you're called an inus. You're already addicted to smoking. So for the beginning of your smoking, it's negative. Once you're addicted, it's fine. What about certain things? This in Eretz Yisrael became a big thing. We're not getting into the debate in America. Too political for this class. But in general, let's say the example would be vaccinations. So a guy who does or does not vaccinate, depends on the law you are, is a certain thing called Shoyma Pesayim Hashem. If you're a tippish, Hashem will protect it to a certain level. But it only works after a certain level. At the beginning, you can't. Another prime example, let's say, a better maybe example. When it comes to driving a car, who said you're allowed to get into a car in the old days when it was considered dangerous? Who said you're allowed to get into a plane in the old days when it was considered dangerous? Nowadays, the numbers are not so. Who said you're allowed to do it? Why are you allowed to get into a plane? If we believe that a plane means every time you get off a plane, even though the percentage of crashes, thankfully, is under 0.01%, right? But every time you get off a plane, you're saying goimo. That means you put yourself in a massive sakana. Why are you allowed to go on a plane? Why are you allowed to go on a plane to go to Florida for vacation? Why are you allowed to put yourself in a massive sakana? Would you ever walk onto a highway and tie your hands? The answer is, at a certain point in time, it becomes what?
Shem.
At a certain point in time.
Yeah.
But, Rav Shlomo Zalman says, I never saw him say it, but I saw someone quote it from him, that works once it reaches a certain number. That means nowadays, if you get on a plane to go to Florida, it's considered normal. Shem. This is the normal way the world is. You're okay. But the first 10 guys who went on violated this law. As far as Goimel, it's because you're in a matzav sakana, you have to do it. I'm not asking, it's the Seinfeld joke. Why are you jumping out of a plane and putting a helmet on? Don't jump out of the plane.
Right?
So I'm saying like this, what gives us a heter? And by the way, there are big rabbis that wouldn't get
it. Why are you putting the seatbelt on the car? They're going in the car.
There are certain rabbis, by the way, specifically on Chol HaMoed, they won't get into a Chol HaMoed unless it's something real reason. That's halach of Shabbos. But there are rabbis that will tell you, today's world you're allowed to drive a car, but do it when you have a purpose. Stam is like, where do you get the car? When you're in high school, you go for joyrides. They don't believe in joyrides. The idea is that, I don't know how we got this right now, you go from a yachid to a rabbi. At a certain point in time, you're not going to be protected. So I don't know how this fits with Achashverosh so much. I had an idea I was going with, but we're going to ignore it for now because it's getting late. One more idea. It could be the opposite. I was saying until now that Achashverosh took out the clothing to race the Jews on into sinning. But he has another way. And telling them that the clothing will protect you. Positive. His goal is to get them to sin. First positive is because, what about the reverse? Could it be, we were discussing the whole time, why do you make this big party? 70 years passed, and he said from when the cheshbon should have been, therefore the Beis HaMikdash is done. So you know what he did, Achashverosh? He went like this. He took out the clothing. He said, guys, listen, you know what you were told by your God? The clothing's going to protect you. Did it protect you? No. Because now you know it didn't protect you? Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So that means God is not being so honest. So when he said 70 years, he's going to redeem you? Not so honest. Not going to happen. Not going to happen. You know what that means? Join my team. Join the party team. So the first explanation was he took out the clothing to tell them the clothing is a positive duaveris. Now I'm saying he's saying the opposite. The clothing's worthless. The clothing couldn't protect you because God couldn't protect you because the whole thing is sheker. The whole thing is sheker. Enjoy life. Party till you can't stand anymore. But the reason, again, we're discussing why Achashverosh took out the clothing was only to get the Jews to do sins. We will stop here. Next week, Emirat Hashem, we will go further.